Hey everybody, welcome back to the Pardonable Podcast. I'm your host, David Lilly, and I'm coming back at you with a pop art review. Now, normally with these, I kind of cover anything that's major coming out in the pop culture thing, like Marvel or Star Wars or any particular movie that I saw in the theaters, and I just kind of go over like a review. This week is not really much different, but there is something special to this particular review. And so this episode, I'm going to be going over Onyx the Fortuitous, the Talisman of Souls. But before I review it, I got to give a little bit of a backstory and tell you why and all the details. So this past Thursday, I went to my local movie theater and got to see the premiere, the one time only day and time of this indie film showing nationwide. And so the reason why it was only one time showing nationwide is because this is truly an indie film, and it started off a Kickstarter that I've actually been watching for a while. Matter of fact, if you go to earlier Pardonable Podcast episodes, there's a few that actually have a plug-in advertisement from the director and writer about this Kickstarter. So I've been paying attention to this for quite some time. And because it's an indie film, it went to Sundance, it did all the indie film circuits, but this is the first time it was open, I guess, to the public that I know of, and in theaters, just for one time. So it was I was super excited. I went and saw it, and I'm going to tell you about what I thought about the film. But to be honest with you, there's a little bit of a backstory, what I just gave you. But this film is also built off a viral character that the writer and director Andrew Bowser created on YouTube. And if you're watching this and you're followed the Kickstarter, you already know all about this. But there was this character that he created and went viral with, and most people know him as the weird Satanist guy, and he did like these bits where he was being interviewed as an Arby's employee, and he goes on these long monologues that are pretty intricate and they're fun, and it went viral obviously a few times. And so he took that and then decided he's a director and writer, so he's been wanting to make films for a while, and I'll talk about this in a minute. But he finally put out a Kickstarter, and the Kickstarter went really well, and then he made a film, and so I'm going to go over what I thought about the film, but just a heads up, I'm a little biased because I've been following this for so long, and I'm a big fan of Andrew Bowser in general, and all the things that he tends to like, it tends to fall in my category as well. So I'm a bit biased, but the reason I gave you that intro is because it ties into a little bit of my review. But let's get started. So this movie, if I was going to take one word, and just like one word to describe the movie, I would have to say fun. I came home, my wife was like, how was it? And I was like, it was a blast. It's overall a good time. Like, it feels like a fun adventure. It's a weird amalgamation, and I kind of came up with this my own. I'm not even sure this is a good way to describe it, but it's like if Weird Science met Tales from the Crypt, met Goosebumps, like the 90s TV show, met Goonies meets The Craft. Like, it's all of those kind of put together, and then it's off in its own category. Because it's a horror film / comedy, but not like a comedy horror film like the spoofs, like the Scary Movies. It's not like that. It's a weird category where it's campy on purpose. The acting is over the top, and I'll go into that in a little bit, but it's on purpose. So it's genuinely funny because the characters are funny and the writing works out really well, but it's also has that whole horror film cliche feel to it as well. So it's a mix of the two, which automatically sets it up for a good time if you're into that particular thing. There's a ton of like 80s throwbacks because of this film. If you love the horror films of the 80s and the campiness of it, you're going to love this film already. Just because of the deep cuts of some really obscure deep cuts. I'm not even going to go into them. Oh, the other thing I should have mentioned, I'm going to do this without spoiling it to the best of my ability. It's going to be hard to talk about this film without giving away anything. So there's going to be a few things I am going to talk about, but for the general part, no spoilers. So because I'm assuming most people haven't seen it. If you didn't go to the theaters or you're not a part of the Sundance and on the film circuits, and chances are you haven't seen this. So I'm going to do this without spoiling because I don't want to ruin it. But there's a ton of 80s callbacks. And along with like an 80s music number, which I would have thought, and this is why I brought up the spoilers thing, is I don't want to give too much away, but I did not see this coming. And it was really well done. It was funny. the music number itself, but it's not what you think. It's not like a normal music number. So anyway, that's as much as I'll give it to you. That was cool because it's another 80s throwback. As far as, oh, there's something pretty cool about this. And I wanted to save this later. I'm going to go into it now since I'm talking about the 80s. But the main character, because of the, because it's a character of its own, it's not a trope. It's not Onyx, the main character, is Andrew Bowser's creation. It's not a thing that you can find on its own. And I'll talk about that. But in the film, it's as if he's stuck in the 80s while we're in 2023. And I thought that was a very cool touch. If you pay attention to the details of kind of like what he's interacting with in his home life versus like what the world is on the outside, he's very much stuck in the 80s while everything else is modern day. There's a few just nicely done callbacks, just kind of how it sets up the movie that feels, the acting feels 80s-ish, like 80s storytelling. Whereas in the 80s, it was kind of meant like this was what they, this is how a lot of these movies went about it. You can tell because this is a newer movie. It was done classy, but also a nice callback. Man, this is actually harder to, I thought this review would be easy without spoiling, but now it's actually becoming difficult as I'm talking about it. The music, and this is the things that, if you know my Papa reviews, I kind of go over the artistic way of things are done, because these are the things I enjoy the most. Now, I'm not a filmmaker or an actor involved in film at all. Matter of fact, I have no right to be reviewing these, but I do them anyway because I do what I want. But the music alone, like just the soundtrack of behind the scenes, has that fun Tim Burton-y 80s feel to it. And I keep bringing up 80s, but I don't know how else to describe it. If you pay attention to kind of the musical cadence behind each scene, it sets it up to be fun, spooky, kind of like a haunted mansion, like a Disney kind of, not scary, but spooky is the best way I can describe that, which I know wasn't a very good way of describing it. Even to the very end, and this is a hard one, I'm trying to spoil it, a nice Beetlejuice callback. Even that was chef's kiss. I loved it. I thought that was wonderful. And speaking of that, just the writing to be able to pull in the campiness of that old school horror film and then make it fun and self-aware, has to be somewhat difficult. I feel like Bowser kind of teetered the line of this had to have been difficult to write, at least from my perspective, because it's not cheesy, but it is cheesy. It's just self-aware. And I think that's what makes this the best part about it. And the cheesy part is done so so let me explain to you why. Instead of doing any kind of CGI, and I knew about this from the beginning of the Kickstarter, Bowser was really, I say Bowser like we're friends, but he made it like he said this out loud on the Kickstarter. He really wanted to focus on handcrafted puppets and like the Muppet feel, instead of using CGI and all this stuff, to go back to that classic where like this is a zombie, but it's kind of cartoonish, and because that's what they were doing back then. He did that on purpose, and it was great. It you forget how those things felt back then until you see them in modern day with like modern cinematography mixed in with this kind of Muppet feel, this classic real prop making feel. I loved it. It feels fun. So where it's like it's meant to be scary, and it is like kind of creepy and kind of like, oh, but it's still fun because it's a bit cartoonish. And so even that would have been difficult, I think, to pull off, and it was done really well. So kudos to the people who made the props, and kudos to that whole thing coming in. But that was really cool. Now let's talk about the writing real quick. There's a fun atmosphere to it in general, but it's not just that. And so when you get to like these kind of fun, goofy horror flicks, you're kind of going in expecting that the writing might be a bit shallow, right? Especially when it comes to like spoof horror films, like the Scary Movie. Like there's not a lot going on as far as background plot. It's really just cheap shots, right? Left. But this movie didn't do that. The writing was actually really well, all the way to callbacks from the way movies used to be written, where you have like the, I forgot the the trope where the rifle above the fire mantle in the first act is going to be brought in later on. That's real. I'm not a film guy, so I don't know what I'm talking about in general. But that concept of foreshadowing things into the future was done really well. You can tell the writing, the writing in general was in depth, and it was meant to bring in the fun, goofy part, but actually raise the stakes, and make you kind of feel like there's something really important happening here. It's not just cheap shots. And I think there's a few reasons why, but let's talk about the actors real quick. So the acting, this goes into the complexity of how I feel like this is why I'm having a hard time explaining this. It's because it is funny, and you can tell the acting's a bit over the top to kind of give you that comedy feel. But they also have to stay somewhat spooky and serious. And the reason is because the stakes are there. Like, you feel like, and I'll explain the stakes in a minute without spoiling it. It's got to be hard. I'm not an actor, but it's got to be hard to be like, I need to be over the top, but serious in moments at the same time, where it's not just goofy comedians, but actual actors, but also, you know, being a bit campy. And the reason I say that I have to do that is because within the writing of the story plot, there's some serious sentimental moments. Right off the beginning, and this is a hard one not to spoil, but there's a question asked by Onyx, the main character, and it's like a serious, it goes from like goofy, funny, this is clack, and it hones right into a serious moment where you're like, oh my God, I feel that. Like, he asks a question, and the show does this throughout, where it goes from funny, goofy, and then it draws you right in to like, this is a serious question. This is a serious thing. This is, you know, traumatic, or is this a big moment, and it's done really well. And the actors have to do that as simultaneously to kind of keep that. This is a fun time, but the stakes are real. There is something being said here. And that continuity of it stays throughout the film, even to the very end, like a good film should do. There's a moral to the story. It's not just a fun ride. There's something being said at the very end. And I thought that was really cool. It makes you, you can tell time was, this wasn't a throw off Michael Bay. We just need explosions. Hurry up, push it through the producers and let's make as much money as possible. Someone really put their heart into this because of the ending. The stakes are really up front, and you kind of see what the whole point of the story was, and it ties back to the beginning. Wow, this is hard without spoiling. But that being said, the acting and the writing was all good. I want to talk about Onyx, the character itself. Because it was a bit way back in the day, and it was made famous on YouTube, and I brought this up at the beginning, this isn't a stereotypical trope of like the quote unquote virgin of the horror films, where it's the goofy nerd or whatever. This is a character all on its own, which makes the film in a category of its own, because a lot of times you have like the what was a good trope of that did that was Cabin in the Woods, where it brought together like the five. This is, you know, the jock, and this is the blonde, and this is the nerd, and this is the bookworm, and this is the virgin. Like, they bring all those tropes because it's a trope. Like, we all know horror movies do this. This one was a little bit different because it could kind of play that character or kind of play into those particular characters. But because Onyx is a character of its own, it had to bring it in and make it feel like Onyx fit. And Bowser did that very well. And on top of that, there was a lot of things. This is one of the things that I liked about it, knowing the character. One of the famous things that made Onyx famous in the viral clips is because he goes on these long diatribe monologues that are just outrageous and extremely detailed, but you feels like it's off the cuff. Like, this particular character just spends too much time on his own by himself, and then when the camera's in his face, you know, if he's being interviewed for something, he just kind of, his brain breaks and just goes under, like, it just goes into a different spiel of his own. And so that had to been tempting to utilize, because that's what made the clips viral, tempting to be utilized throughout the movie, but it's not. And I thought that was really well done, because it had to been tempting. It's saved to a very specific moment, which made it not feel cheap, which made it feel like it's like, well, these are the things that have worked in the past. Let's just bring all of those in it was strategically placed and not overused. And a lot of people have a hard time not doing that. So those long monologues, if you go look up Weird Satanist Guy or the Arby's commercial or the Arby's interview, you'll see what I'm talking about. But it wasn't overdone. It wasn't overplayed. On top of that, this viral character that went famous back in the day, you get to see a little bit more of why this character's around, even to a backstory of, there's this famous thing the viral character does where it throws in, I don't know, real quickly in between, like a filler and stuff, saying, I don't know. You get the actual backstory to it, and it means something. It means something to the character, which they play into it, into the film, which just adds to the great writing. I love the way this was done. I'm glad there was no cheap shots. If it felt like a cheap shot, you can tell it was done intentionally on purpose, and it was done done really well. So as far as the whole movie goes, and I try not to, you know, expound on it without spoiling it, so I'm trying not to spoil it, but as far as the whole movie goes, if you go in expecting something, you might have a bad time, because just go in to have fun. It's a good time. It's like a party. It's just a good time. It's got a moral at the end. It's got cool callbacks to the 80s. Even if you don't know the 80s, if you're not familiar with old horror films or old campy, you know, that kind of genre, you're still going to have a good time. It is fun. And so that was the best way I could describe it. The reason I'm doing this particular pop art review, there's another reason why, and this is probably not the more important, but this is the reason why, because normally I would just watch the movie, had a good time, maybe tweet about it and then be done. But, because this actually tells a bit of a story in my own life, not to get crazy personal, but I'll tell you about this. So I've followed Andrew Bowser, the guy who written, directed Onyx, the character. I followed him for quite some time. Matter of fact, even when they were doing the Kickstarter, I reached out and was like, hey, I'm a woodworker. And we talked about some props. And I think even the Kickstarter people, they got the script. So we've all kind of seen what was going to happen and got to be a part of it. And that was fun. I think that's what makes the movie, even if you were a part of the Kickstarter and you were watching this all come together, you kind of feel like it's you're a part of the thing itself, which was cool. But that's not the thing that really made a difference to me. So, weird story. Andrew Bowser, the guy who wrote this, was a part of a podcast way back in the day. Not in any, like, that ended a while back. But this podcast was called Bizarre States. And it was him. He was co-hosting with Jess Chobot. Many people, you don't have to go back and listen to it. But every once in a while, he would have a solo episode by himself. This is going to be a weird deep cut, so no one's going to know what I'm talking about. That's why I'm telling the story. He would have an episode by himself, and they would go over like spooky topics of the day and just talk about, you know, events that had to do with like bizarre, spooky stuff. But every once in a while, if he had a solo episode, he would go into personal stuff. And there was this one particular episode, and I have no idea why it stuck around with me, but it did. And this tells you why I'm doing the pop art review now. There was this one episode, and I remember this oddly enough, and you could tell he was frustrated going into the episode. And it was around Sundance season, and he goes on this rant, not Onyx character, Andrew the guy himself, goes on this rant about how all of the people he knows who have made films, they're at Sundance wearing their puffy coats, drinking their lattes, selling films. And you could tell the envy was there, the jealous was there, but the frustration of being like, why can't that be me? And he was irritated. And I don't know why that stuck with me, because I kind of felt it too, even though I'm not in that scene. I was like, I understand what he's feeling. That particular and it was actually a funny rant, so I enjoyed it. Maybe that's why it stuck with me. But that particular podcast, juxtaposed to what happened this past Thursday, where I'm sitting, knowing all the Kickstarter, knowing the Sundance, he went to Sundance, knowing that and thinking about that Bizarre States episode where he was just like, this is what I want, and all the people are getting to experience it, and I'm out in the cold. I'm like, I'm way off in the background. Just how do I get there? And then years later, I'm sitting in a movie theater watching a movie from a kid that he created was awesome. And the reason it was awesome is because I remember that episode. It feels like I'm a part of that too. Like, I know what that feeling is like. And I think that's what makes this whole thing meaningful to me, and maybe meaningful to other people, is because we've all been there. I mean, some of us are still there. And even I'm doing a pop art review. I like supporting artists, no matter what they're, if they're, you know, leagues above me like Bowser is, or artists just starting off. That's why I do the podcast, to interview people, to kind of see where they're at in creativity and see how they got to where they are. That's what makes the stories great. So this like, I remember Andrew Bowser being like, man, I wish I could just make a film, and I'm trying and I keep hitting these roadblocks, to actually getting to see him succeed and accomplish it. Kind of makes me feel like I succeeded too. And so we get to go on these journeys with these artists that we love, that we follow, and we get to be a part of it. And I think that's what makes this movie awesome. But that also tells me, this is why I'm always encouraging, like, support your artists around you. I don't care if they're just starting off, or they're just getting, like, look into it and pay attention to what they're doing, because one day they might get somewhere and you get to feel like you're a part of it with them. And we all want this for ourselves. Like, we're all doing our own projects. We're all, if it's film or if it's art or if it's music, we all look at these stories going, oh my God, that could be me. And those stories are the most important, because even the story follows that particular trope, the Onyx Fortuitous Telemachus, of being like, I'm here, stuck here, and I want to get somewhere, but I can't get there. And then the story follows that. And even the movie does that, but the life's lessons in that is, you know, pay attention to people when they're coming up, because you get to follow their success with them. And that's what's awesome about supporting artists and just being involved and just paying attention. I think this whole watching it, sitting in the theaters, watching this Onyx Fortuitous and just enjoying it. Part of the thing I loved the most about it is because I was like, I remember when this guy was pissed because he wasn't at Sundance, and to get to see people succeed like that feels like it's part of my story too. So anyway, whenever this comes out, if it does come out, Amazon, whatever, check it out, go watch it. I'm telling you, it's a great time. I know spooky season's coming to an end, but this is just a good one. And I'm hoping it will be a classic, because you can tell a lot of time and effort went into this, a lot of heart and soul. And I told you that story at the end, just so you kind of know that the heart and soul is birthed from some place. And that place is probably very much like what you go through or what you're going through now. And hopefully you come out like I did, with a little bit of encouragement, like these small projects that I'm working on. You know, maybe there'll be something one day. And then whoever's watching this podcast, be like, I remember when David talked about Onyx, and he was like, man, I can't wait till I succeed, or I know this feeling, because one day I might get to a spot where, I mean, obviously you're not going to be watching a movie I made in the theater, but whatever that thing is, maybe you get to be a part of this story too, and you get to ride along with it. Because that's what's important, is to get to be a part of these cool creative things that we all enjoy, but we all participate in our own little way. But anyway, thanks for tuning in to this podcast. Super quick, super short. Oh, I'm 20 minutes, so it wasn't as quick as I thought, but got some interviews and stuff coming out. If you want to support the podcast, go to pardonwillmerch.com, buy a t-shirt. I got the new Loki season 2 one up. But yeah, like and subscribe, you know the drill. And I will see you back here next time. Bye, guys.